Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. It's a Wednesday. Packers have training camp practice later today. That starts at 11 o'clock a.m. 11:15 a.m. Central Time at Ray Nitschke Field in Green Bay. We'll be following along with that later here at Cheesehead TV as we run a live blog to follow along with the goings-on at Packers training camp practice. Prior to that, General Manager Ted Thompson will be having a press conference aired live, streamed live at Packers.com at 10 o'clock a.m. This will be following along with that as well. A lot of things going on today in the world of the Green Bay Packers. What I wanted to talk about today, kick off the show with, is a discussion on the Packers' depth. And Jamie, if you could you post yesterday's point of view column from on our live blog here underneath the live stream. Yesterday I wrote a column that was, kind of controversial in that I have an opinion that some people may disagree with, that the depth of the Packers roster is getting thinner, is deteriorating. And really, I'm talking about the bottom of the Packers roster. So before we all get our panties in a bind, that's a pretty good situation to be in here. No doubt about it, the top of the Packers roster is still very good. when you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Josh Sitton, B.J. Raji, Morgan Burnett, when you got those kind of guys, at the top of your depth chart, That's a good situation to have. That the Packers, as long as those guys are out there healthy, competing, the Packers are in good shape. They're going to compete for a playoff spot, obviously, I think. And if the chips fall the right way, maybe in contention for the Super Bowl. So that's a good thing. But I do see the depth on this team deteriorating lower down the depth chart. We're talking about spots 40 through 53 on the roster, not quite up to where they have been in recent seasons. I point you back to early in the Ted Thompson regime in Green Bay. I mean, Mike McCarthy too. I mean, both are, got their start at almost the same time, a year apart, but still. You might remember back to 2006. There was a time when the Packers actually, when it was time for the final roster cutdowns, when they cut down to the 53 players, there was a time when Ted Thompson used to cut below 53. In 2006, he actually eventually cut down to 50 before adding some cast-offs from other teams in the NFL. He added that year, added Charlie Peppra and Jarrett Bush. And I realize those are not two elite names, but when we're talking about the 51st and maybe 52nd players on the roster being Charlie Peppra and Jarrett Bush, that's pretty good for the guys you're talking about being the very bottom of the depth chart. Peppra, of course, becoming eventually a starter on a Super Bowl team, and Jarrett Bush being the special teams captain in Green Bay for the past three seasons running, and a valuable backup. So not bad when you're talking, when you're considering the 51st, 52nd, 53rd best players on the roster. Those are pretty good guys at that position, at that spot, at that ranking. 2 years later, 2008, I believe it was, they added Derek Frost and Brett Goode the Derek Frost experiment didn't work out so well when the Packers ended up cutting punter John Ryan. But the Packers added Brett Goode, you know, as their 53rd player, basically, in 2008. The last guy added to the roster, you know, added after training camp. Well, Brett Goode's worked out pretty well, hasn't he? He's been the long snapper for the past 5 years running in Green Bay, going on his sixth year. He has yet to screw up a snap. He's been solid. And I think the Packers are returning to a time when they might be looking to add from other teams' castoffs once again. I don't think the undrafted rookies the Packers have added this year, at least, have been as good as they have in the past few. And again, we're nitpicking here. When we're talking about undrafted rookies, you know, that's it's, you know, better to be talking about that than, you know, talking about the failures of the first round draft choices. Although you might argue Packers have had some injury issues with first round draft choices of their own, but that's another discussion for another day. Anyway, you know, I take a look at a few of the positions on the Packers roster and see how they're really not up to snuff. And kind of looking, number one, at safety. The Packers at the safety position do not have much beyond three players. Some might argue they don't have much beyond one player, beyond Morgan Burnett. But I think at least MD Jennings and Jerron McMillan are locks for roster spots, no doubt about it, unless they were to be injured or something like that. But beyond those three, I mean, what other safeties on the team are a threat to make the roster? I don't think anyone is a threat to make the roster. Maybe you got some practice squad guys, maybe between David Fulton and Chris Banjo, they might keep one on the practice squad just as your emergency guy. But I mean, almost every team in the NFL, you know, has at least four safeties on their roster. The Packers only have three legitimate safeties. And I don't know what they do at the position. They may just roll the dice and go at three. You know, they may just go with Burnett, Jennings, and McMillan and say, we're going with them. And maybe if they have to, you got Jared Bush as or Micah Hyde as an emergency safety. Jared Bush has kind of filled that role, at least in practice, in the past. But, you know, other than that, they don't have any other guys who are going to make the team. So I think that perhaps they may grab somebody else's cast off. They're going to see a safety out there who was cut from another team who's better than what the Packers have now, you know, who are at least better than David Fulton, Chris Banjo, Chaz Powell. You know, a healthy Sean Richardson would be nice, but we can't really bank on that now, can we? Other positions that are a little bit thin that you could find better options cut from other teams. The kicker, obviously. I mean, we don't even need to get into the problems at kicker. They are well documented. Mason Crosby's on the fence. Giorgio Tavecchio's been okay. He's done a good job. He's done better than I ever expected Giorgio Tavecchio to do once they signed him. But does he have the leg strength compared to other NFL kickers out there? Is he going to be as good as them? Is Mason Crosby ever going to get back on track as far as being at least an average NFL kicker? I don't know. Perhaps a guy cut from another team out there would be a better option. I wish I had a better grasp on the rest of the NFL, the other 31 teams. I mean, by all means, if you know some of the teams that have two good kickers in training camp, feel free to share them on the live blog. I am aware of Kickalicious in Detroit just because he's such a unique story the Norwegian player who posted a viral video to YouTube got noticed by the Lions, and they brought him into training camp, and he's actually performed rather well for them, but he's never even played football, American football, in his entire life. You know, prior to now, he doesn't even know that just this past game I read, like, he didn't even know he had to go back out for the kickoff following a field goal. He made a field goal and he's celebrating and had to be reminded then he had to go back out to get to the kickoff. You're really rolling the dice there too a little bit, if you were to grab a guy like Kickalicious, but maybe there is some other ones in the NFL. I mean, there's 31 other training camps going on. John says on the live blog, Miami has Chris Carpenter in another one. So apparently in Miami, there's a kicking competition going on. Maybe Miami. I think somebody commented the other day that Buffalo has two kickers, decent ones as well. Who knows? Ryan Longwell took himself out of the running yesterday, by the way. Ryan Longwell retiring as a member of the Green Bay Packers. Says his kicking days are done. So no chance of that. But where else on the roster? Offensive line, I think you're potentially looking at the Packers needing somebody cut from another team at perhaps two positions. You're looking at tackle, where the Packers have been hit hard by injuries. And certainly, you know, if the Packers wouldn't have these injuries, it might be a different situation here. But, of course, Brian Bulaga's now out for the season. On top of that, you know, look at Derek Sherrod, who's going on two seasons looking at here on the PUP list, perhaps. J.C. Tretter suffered the injury in the offseason. Andrew Datko's suffering through this concussion right now. You know, the Packers wouldn't be in this spot they're in if they wouldn't have all these injuries. But they may have to grab a tackle for depth from another team out there. You know, not they don't have to find a starting tackle, but maybe you're going to find somebody, the last offensive lineman you keep on the team, your eighth or ninth guy, maybe a guy you can develop who looked, you know, good in another camp, but just, you know, not good quite enough to hang on. Maybe better than what the Packers have now, at least. You know, maybe better than Andrew Datko. Something like that. Another position the Packers have thin depth at, outside linebacker. I think you're looking at Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, and Desmond Moses as being, you know, solid locks for the team. But that's only three outside linebackers. None of the rookies in camp, and this is a little bit disappointing, none of the rookies have looked all that good. Sixth-round draft choice, Nate Palmer. He might be the biggest whiff the Packers have on the draft this year. Maybe. He's in tight competition with the wide receivers in the seventh round that can't seem to get off the IR or get past their injuries, at least. The undrafted rookie Andy Malumba out of Eastern Michigan has done some okay things during training camp, has a nice story to him, in that he came over from the Congo to Montreal, Canada, where he's a Canadian native. He's one of the top draft picks in the CFL draft, all those things. But is he NFL caliber quality? I think maybe the Packers hang on to Malumba, but I'm not sure. It's a lock yet. If he continues to develop, he might be worth keeping around. And then they also have Dante Savage, they have Jarvis Reed, those guys and other undrafted rookies, you know, who are just kind of hanging on, and, you know, maybe they flash here and there, but again, you're talking guys who are maybe your 53rd best player on the roster, and that's questionable at that. It's a place or an idea where Mike Neal is the fourth string outside linebacker on the Packers roster. Maybe if the Packers decide none of the rookies are up to snuff, maybe Neal kind of holds down the fort there. It is kind of your emergency outside linebacker. It kind of looks like they have some sort of role for him in place. I don't know exactly what that role might be. I'm kind of dubious about whether I think Mike Neal can actually play outside linebacker in the NFL, but that seems to be beside the point. What I think appears to be what the Packers are doing nonetheless. So we'll see how all that plays out. Hopefully we get to see Mike Neal in preseason action soon. I would really like to see him in a game and see what he does at outside linebacker. But anyway, so you know, kind of at those positions I've gone through, the Packers have some depth issues there that I think perhaps some cast-offs from another teams might be able to help. Oh, I shouldn't be remiss in mentioning the quarterback position either. The only problem is at quarterback, you know, I think the Packers either almost have to go with Graham Harrell or Vince Young. I don't think we're looking at B.J. Coleman being a legitimate threat to playing time this year. Maybe he goes on the practice squad again. But, you know, because maybe there's a quarterback out there that's better than what the Packers have now, you know, that's cut from a camp. Maybe there's a quarterback that's cut that's better than Graham Harrell, that's better than Vince Young. But you can't really grab that quarterback. You could grab him, but you can't, you know, depend upon them being the number two, the backup to Aaron Rodgers, week one in the NFL. You know, you need somebody who knows the offense, at least, in case there's an injury. You know, all of a sudden, if Aaron Rodgers has to come out of the game, even briefly, you know, you need somebody who knows the offense. That isn't somebody you're going to find on the street that knows the Packers offense. So, you know, maybe the Packers find another quarterback out there that's cut that they can put on the practice squad. They can try to develop that person. But, you know, even those guys are hard to find, because if all you're doing is offering a player a practice squad spot, well, if the team they spent training camp with, it offers them the same thing, they're going to stay with the team where they know the offense. They're not going to go to a new team. So it is kind of hard to find those type of guys. You know, the Packers almost have to offer them a spot on the 53-man roster in order for them to, you know, jump teams. So it is, Jamie says on the live blog, we saw clearly how hard a simple handoff is last season. Jamie mentioning the or referencing the handoff that Graham Harrell fumbled last season against the Saints that was returned for a touchdown. Yeah, one of the biggest jokes of the year that happened to the Packers last year. Regrettable moment. So there's your update on the Packers roster situation. Other news surrounding the world of the Green Bay Packers. Wide receiver Randall Cobb dealing with some injury issues. I think this might have been the next biggest story, or perhaps the biggest story, coming out of Packers training camp yesterday. You know, Randall Cobb has been dealing with a biceps issue, an arm injury, ever since the family night scrimmage a little over a week ago in Green Bay. He injured his biceps. I don't know exactly what happened, but he has, you know, it's sore. He's dealing with a limited range of motion, mobility, but he has been trying to practice through it. Observers are saying Cobb is kind of favoring his arm, his biceps. He's holding on to it. He's wincing during practice. I don't know if he's wincing, I should say, but I've seen that he's been holding it, at least, you know, visibly showing effects of pain. So, you know, people are wondering out there, you know, why are the Packers taking any chances with Randall Cobb, one of the, you know, premier playmakers on the team, one of the most valuable players on the team? Why is he practicing? And so, you know, people are asking this question, and both Randall Cobb and Mike McCarthy acknowledge it is an injury, but they don't think it's anything that, you know, that's going to get worse, that they have to practice through it. In fact, Mike McCarthy said he thinks it's an issue that he's going to deal with for several weeks. This is something that's kind of going to linger, but not something that's going to prevent him from playing. So the question is, what do the Packers do from here? You know, do they continue to try to get Randall Cobb to push through the pain, to kind of prepare him for the 2013 season? Randall Cobb wants to be out there. He's trying to play the role of tough guy, trying to tough it out. And he says he kind of struggles with, you know, trying to be tough and trying to be smart. You know, what do they do? Because they really don't, you know, Mike McCarthy said, you know, if he thought he was going to further the injury, we wouldn't have him out there. But they don't think that's going to happen, even though he is in kind of pain. So I don't know what the Packers do, to tell you the truth, whether they hold him out. You know, he's kind of tried to fight through practice the past few days. It's obviously Randall Cobb's been kind of limited. They held him out of the preseason opener. He didn't play at all. And maybe it's a situation where he does practice, but he doesn't play. Could be one of those types of scenarios. You don't see those very often, but maybe during the preseason when the games don't count, maybe they do that, or at least maybe they hold him out this week and then try to bring him back next week for the most important third preseason game when they face the Seahawks in week 3 of the exhibition season. You know, when the starters play a little bit more, maybe he tries to play a little more then. I don't really know what the Packers do. I'm just speculating here about, you know, the type of role he might have the rest of the preseason, or whether they're going to try to just play it safe, err on the side of caution, hold him out, and just get him ready for the regular season when the games do count. You know, kind of what they're doing with Jordy Nelson right now. Well, Jordy Nelson is, you know, recovering from knee surgery. So, you know, obviously Jordy Nelson can't be out there right now, but they're hoping he'll be ready to go, for the start of the regular season. So it's a difficult situation the Packers find themselves in with Randall Cobb. And, you know, when you add this whole controversy about what he'll do on special teams to the mix, you know, it makes it even more difficult as well. You know, they don't want Randall Cobb out there on special teams, but they haven't really found a good option to replace him yet either. You know, Jeremy Ross has kind of been, I think, the go-to kind of guy who has the most experience, you know, as a return guy the Packers are looking at. But he hasn't been totally reliable either last season when he got his shot. Of course, everybody will remember the muffed punt during the 49ers in the playoffs. He's been dropping passes during training camp. He has the occasional muff in practice on the return, although it hasn't happened often. So, is Jeremy Ross reliable enough to be the return guy while they hold Randall Cobb at least out from special teams? Or can Jonathan Franklin be that guy, the rookie running back? You know, he doesn't look entirely comfortable because he doesn't have a whole lot of experience doing returns, you know, dating back to his college days. Never did it there. So, of course, he's going to be kind of raw at it, rusty doing it, you know, however you want to describe it. It's really a tough decision. I don't know what to think about Jeremy Ross, to tell you the truth, what the Packers are going to do with him and his roster spot. He's kind of pushing for a spot on the team as a dual receiver return specialist, but he just is not, you know, reliable. He's the kind of guy who has his troubles, you know, handling the football, and they need him if he's going to be the return guy. If he's going to play on offense at all with the first string, you know, if he's going to be catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, he's got to show sure hands. And that's not something Jeremy Ross has done yet on a consistent basis. You know, they can't afford him to be fumbling out there. So I don't know what the Packers do there. It's going to be tough. They got some tough decisions ahead of them. Maybe everything will be hunky-dory in time for the regular season. You just put Randall Cobb out there and hope for the best. But, you know, as they kind of said, this kind of looks like something that's going to linger for Randall Cobb. Then he's going to have to, you know, deal with for, you know, several weeks. So hard to say how it'll all play out. On the good news side of the ledger, the Packers got a little bit of a dose of good health on Tuesday. You saw some guys return to practice. You saw running back Eddie Lacy return to practice on Tuesday, albeit on a limited basis, but that was good news. You know, the rookie running back, the second rounder out of Alabama, who kind of looks like he's going to be the workhorse back for the Packers this year. Not a given yet, but looking good early in the preseason. He was back out at practice on Tuesday, took part in individual drills, but I don't think he took part in any team drills. But he's making progress in return from a hamstring injury that's kept him out the past week or so. Obviously, you didn't see Lacy play in the first preseason game. No big deal that they held him out of one game, but it good that he's making progress. So you saw that. You saw rookie Kevin Dorsey practice for the first time yesterday at wide receiver. He's been out since the second day of training camp in Green Bay with a hamstring issue of his own. First day he's even put on the pads yet this year. So that's good news that he's getting back out there. He's running out of time to make a push for a roster spot. I'm not sure there's room for Kevin Dorsey on the 53-man roster. The best thing he might hope for is a spot on the practice squad. You know, I just don't know if there's enough time left to beat out guys who are fighting for the last spots at wide receiver on the team, like Jarrett Boykin, like Jeremy Ross, like even Tyrone Walker, the undrafted rookie out of Illinois State. It's going to be tough for Kevin Dorsey to find playing time ahead of these guys, or at least with these guys concurrently out on the field during the same play. You know, I'm not sure if there's enough time for him to, you know, climb up the depth chart. John asked on the live blog if Dorsey did anything of note. He really didn't do much of note because he didn't take part, just like Eddie Lacy, he didn't take part in any team drills. They're kind of easing these guys back into action, you know, letting them participate in individual drills, things like that, but nothing with a team. So hopefully maybe their workload will increase as time goes on. You know, maybe today they take another step up. There's another practice tomorrow. So I think they're trying to ease these guys back into action. They don't want to overwork them, overload them, coming back right away. So kind of that's something to watch today, whether Dorsey, whether Lacy, even DeJuan Harris as well is in the same boat. Are these guys, they going to increase the workload? Are they going to get them involved with team drills? Are these guys going to be ready to play on Saturday? Packers head to St. Louis for the second preseason game against the Rams this Saturday. So, you know, that's the situation they find themselves in right now. Guys getting healthy, but at least no more new injuries as of Tuesday in Green Bay. No more new injuries. Ryan Pickett missed practice yesterday. You might have saw that there was an ambulance sent to his home. I read one thing from a non-confirmed source about carbon monoxide possibly in the home. It appears even Ryan Pickett wasn't the one bothered, but it was, you know, one of his children that perhaps was affected. It sounds like everything's going to be okay. Nothing happened there. A little bit scary for a moment, but that's good. Hopefully Ryan Pickett will be back at practice today and won't have missed much as long as he's healthy, and he appears to be, so that's all good. But anyway, it's past 9 o'clock here on a Wednesday morning, folks. Thanks for joining us so much to talk some Packers football this morning. Real Bird Central airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So make sure to join us 2 days from now. We'll be back on Friday morning. We'll be previewing the Packers preseason game against the Rams. And we'll talk to you then. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Ocean Billy by Umphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.